Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Commercial. It must be Thursday night. Welcome to Reality of Relationships. I am your host, KL Belvin, and I'll be one of the two who will be taking you through the next 2 hours. And as always, allow me to introduce my lovely co-host and lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Are you there, baby doll?
Hey.
Hey, darling. What's going on? So everyone that's tuned in tonight, as you know, Tiffany and I do our best to try to break down relationships from all different angles. We try to discuss all different types of relationships, not just husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriends. We try to discuss the relationship that you have with your mailman and the bus driver, if that's what it's going to be. And we just try to put our spin on it. We're not gurus. We're not We don't consider ourselves to be. All right, whatever. Anyway, we don't claim to be perfect, but we claim to be perfect for each other. So we try to share what we've been able to amass, the knowledge that we've been able to amass with all that's listening. Our hope is to try to fix a lot of the damage, or at least address a lot of the damage that's going on out here in the world, and do the best that we can with the power that God gives us to be able to make a difference. And so this is what we do, and we want to welcome you. If you're tuning in from the computer, blessings. If you're calling in from your phone, 646-200-3838, blessings. At any time, if you want to get in and speak to the host, just press 1. The host will take care of your information, and we'll hit one of us up to let you know that you want to get on, and we'll get you on. Now, remember, like anything else, it takes time. So if we say hold on, just hold on. Don't bug out. And sit back and enjoy the time with us. This is what we do. Now, first, before we go any further, I got to admit, I was fighting with myself today, even right up until we got on the air. You know, it's been a little emotional about my grandmother, as all of you know. I lost my grandmother in July. But it's funny how little things will come to you when you think about someone that's no longer here. And so when I was sitting at work today, actually, you know what, I'm going to hold off a second because I'm changing protocol. I don't even want to do that. Honey, how was your week today? Forget me. How was your week today? Let me not going to break protocol. But I'll tell my story later. How was your week this week?
Let's just say I'm glad that we're almost to the weekend. I'm looking
forward
to it.
You always say that every Thursday.
I know. You know what's funny? And I was just saying earlier, it seems like every Thursday I am incredibly sleepy, more so than any of the other days. And I don't know, it's just because knowing the next day is Friday and then the weekend comes. But
already
I am looking forward to the weekend. I need some rest. I'm tired. And I mean, what'd you say?
I said, ain't nothing wrong with that. I feel you. I'm actually looking forward to the weekend myself, man, with all this work I got to do. So I'm right there with you.
But, you know, as everyone knows, this past weekend was the memorial for my mom. And I have to say, we had an awesome time.
Yes, we
did. It was exactly the way I wanted. It was not a somber occasion. It was a joyous celebration.
Take them through what everything was. But take them through it from start to finish. Walk them back up and walk them through it a little bit.
Well, honestly, the morning began very early for us. I got up about 6:30 in the morning because KL and I had to go to the doctor first. We had an appointment with the OBGYN so that they can check the baby and go through the whole procedures, you know, for the periodic appointments.
And the
we
baby
have
was
an
on
appointment.
The
It was. Oh, my goodness. The nurse was trying to get the heart rate. And when she put the Doppler on my stomach, she found the heart rate immediately. But then you heard like this, and then you didn't hear the heartbeat anymore. And I said, well, what was that? She said the baby's moving. So then she would find the heartbeat again, and then the baby would move again. So this baby is very active. He must be like his father with attention deficit. But everything went well. We're waiting for an appointment for an anatomy sonogram where we will hopefully find out the sex of the baby.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming up soon. But after we left the doctor's office, we immediately went to the banquet hall, which we were hosting the
Shout out to the Harvest Room in Jamaica, Queens.
Yes, they are the most professional people, I have to say. They're very accommodating. They understood, you know, the type of event that we were having. They wanted to make sure everybody was comfortable and everything was going the way it needed to go. And I have to say, the Harvest Room is a really nice place. KO and I have been there before for other events, but this was the first event that we hosted at the Harvest Room. It's very affordable for what you get. And in comparison to other locations that would want to charge you $3,000 to $4,000 for the exact same space.
That's it. And use of a pantry for your chef or your caterer.
Yes.
Because our caterer showed up, needed a pantry, no problem. They unlocked the door. We needed some ice. There happened to be some ice in the cooler. Hey, go ahead and take it, do your thing. Tremendous professionals.
Yes.
professionals.
Very much so.
If you go to the Harvest Room, ask for Angela Mohan or Douglas. I don't know what Douglas's last name is, so please forgive
me. I don't remember his last name either, but yeah, Angela Mohan or Douglas, either one of them will be able to help you if you would like to have an event. And basically we got there, my sister showed up early, a few friends came. One of my friends, she's actually a professional event coordinator, we used her for the wedding. She came to help us set up, and we got off to a late start, but, you know, everything came along and family and friends showed up. It was great. I got a little emotional. I didn't want to get emotional because I wanted to get through it and give my mom the honors, you know, without boo-hooing through it. But with the comfort of my husband, I have to say that I was able to get through it and be the host that I needed to be.
You owe me money. I'm tired of emceeing for free, man. You owe me money. I want to get paid.
But what was the most, the fun, we had a lot of fun because, you know, everyone, I had everyone come up to speak, you know, to say a little something here and there about my mom that they remembered. What really surprised me is my little brother, he sang impromptu. And it's funny because his friend said, Tiffany, your brother's going to sing. And I said, no, he's not. And they said, no, he's really going to sing. But my brother, he has a very nice voice, but he's very shy, and he has stage fright sometimes. So he doesn't sing in public often. But when he got up to speak about my mom, he decided to sing a song, and it just had everybody in tears, including the photographer. It was so funny.
I was in tears.
You was in tears.
I was not in tears.
But he did a great job. My friend Keisha, we've been friends for over 20 years. She sang one of my favorite gospel songs. One of my coworkers, she did a liturgical dance. And it was an awesome experience because after we got through giving a tribute to my mom, then of course it was time to party and the DJ turned up the, you know, the beats.
Shout out to my man Scratch.
Yes, DJ Scratch. We've known Scratch for some time now through bowling, but he also is a professional DJ, and he and his partner Max are very good. And they did their thing. We hit the dance floor, and I have to say, oh, I forgot to mention, both my fathers were in the house.
What?
My biological father.
Please explain that.
Yes. My biological father and my stepfather, the father who raised me, had never met before Saturday. I'm 37 years old, and they had never met each other before Saturday, and they were actually both.
I never met your pops either. That was my first time meeting them too.
Yeah, that was KL's first time meeting my biological father, and it was wonderful. It was so funny because of course everyone was on the dance floor, including my biological father, my stepfather, but my biological father can dance, and actually my grandmother told me years ago when he was a little boy, he used to dance and perform in shows. Well, KO made a video. Check out our Facebook page.
If you want to look at it tonight, go to GQ General Question. Actually, GQ General Question. Go to the Facebook group. GQ General Question, hosted by Rich Money and GQ Palace Radio. Ask to join. I'm about to post it in there. You can check it out. But it is on Tiff's Facebook page, my Facebook page, and we will put it on the Making Marriage Cool Again page later on this evening. But if you want to look at it in the next couple of minutes, join the GQ General Question. That is GEEQUE General Question. Just look it up in the groups, it'll come up, and you can actually see Tiff's Pops doing his thing. Only way he knows how to do it. I don't even know what to call that. We had to put a mishmash of video together. It's hilarious.
Yes, it is. It is. I have to say, it's funny. So that was awesome to see him. And at his age, oh my goodness, my father is in his mid-50s, and he made me feel old the way he was moving. And then he told me, a couple of days later, he told me that same day, after the memorial, he and my uncle went to another party that night and danced even more. So when he woke up the next day, he was crazy sore. But we did have a good time. During the memorial, we actually had a Balloon Release tribute, which is pretty also. It was amazing for everyone to go out into the courtyard. That's another thing I like about the Harvest Room. They have the banquet hall, but then they also have a courtyard. So if you wanted to go outside and get some fresh air, smoke a cigarette, I don't know, whatever you do out in the fresh air,
yeah,
you can't.
No, smoking that stuff.
Get stuck in the banquet room.
Smoking that waggy weed.
Did you see the dude that was out there praying?
There was a Muslim guy that was out there praying.
Yes. I thought that was so awesome. I said, wow, he's actually out there praying.
Brother
okay.
just showed up and started praying. I was like, okay, that'll work. We needed the prayer. I don't know who he's praying to, but it is what it is.
Yes. But, yeah, the memorial went off very well. I was trying, again, like, I wasn't trying to stress out or get emotional, but it happens sometimes, and we were able to get through it. A few people at the end said, you know what, this was great, this was amazing. I've never been to any homegoing service like this, and I think this is something I want when I go. So that was great to hear.
One thing, you're forgetting somebody, man, the food.
What am I forgetting? Oh, my goodness. How could I forget Javel and his mom, Denise? Oh, my goodness. Javel Frazier and his mom, Denise, they have trust in us catering. They actually provided the food for the memorial. And people, even today, it's so funny. Today, one of my coworkers said, where did your chef get those monster chicken wings? She said they were so good. We had chicken wings, Swedish meatballs, pasta, fish, what else? Salad. We had a bunch of stuff, but the food was so good. And everybody kept talking about the food and said, oh, we need to use him in the future because the food is so good. And Javel and his mom are so professional.
Young African-American chef, licensed. He has a license.
He went to culinary school.
Yes. He is a real chef. You tell him what you want, and he will make it. And when I tell you, he will make it incredible. I have yet to have a bad dish. And we've now ate his food 4 or 5 different settings. And each setting was a different type of dish. And he is on point.
Yes, he is on point. He will set up the food, and he also serves the food. So if you want his buffet style, he will serve the food as well. So definitely, Javel, the name of the catering company again is Trust in Us Catering, and I have to thank him. I can't believe I forgot him of all people.
Check him out on Facebook, too, Javel Frazier on Chef Javel Frazier or Javel Frazier on Facebook. Also, Trust in Us Catering, I believe, is definitely on Instagram, where he has tons of pictures of the food that he creates, as well as his website, trustinus.com. So definitely check him out. I was about to say,
I know, that's awful. I have to say also, I have to mention, I forgot, Essential Cakes is another friend of ours. I've known Etwin for about 15 years now, I think it is. But Etwin has her own bakery, Essential Cakes. It's currently on Fulton Street in Brooklyn. She's about to move. I don't know the address of her new location.
Flatbush.
Yeah,
Foster or Farragut in Albany, right? I think you said.
I think that's what she said. But she also has a website, essentialcakes.com. So please check her out. We always use Edson. We use her for our wedding. We use her for Gail's birthday party. I use her for...
She studied under the Cake Man Raven, was right?
Yes. She interned under the Cake Man Raven, who's also well known here in Brooklyn, and she's very good. The cakes not only taste good, but they look beautiful. You have to go to her website, essentialcakes.com, to see exactly some of the things that she's able to do with some sugar. It's unbelievable.
Don't be on no diet. I'll tell you right now, you're going to be mad at yourself because it'll go right out the window, man. Cakes is that good, man. Don't do it to yourself. I'm telling you.
So how was your week, honey?
Man, listen, I'm back to teaching. What can I say? I don't know. The week wasn't bad. Had a little run-in with one of my students, and, you know, she decided she wanted to tell some untruths to the principal. And it's not that doesn't bother me. I mean, it's not the first time, but sometimes you sit back and you go, why are you just walking around angry? You're too young to be angry like this, but, you know, this is what we deal with, and it's a shame how one student can take things away from so many, but this is what we deal with. And I can honestly say it's not as enjoyable as it was. As I said last week, I want to do something different, but right now this is what it is, and I'm trying to reignite my passion for this, so I don't even want to talk about school anymore. But other than that, I have a new book coming out, story that I'm going to turn into a new book. I'm upset that my original updates were lost, but that just means I'll go back to the drawing board and come back out with something strong. The original story, Lukewarm Saint, will be a part of an upcoming anthology that's coming out in 2012 called Soldiers of the Cross. Brother Maurice Gray and Brother Isaiah, oh my gosh, got my brother, other brother's name of the book, is going to be a part of it. I'll get the name before I get off, but we have some things that we're going to do, and I think this book is going to be pretty good, and I'm going to take my story, and it's going to turn into my next book. Isaiah David Paul, there we go. Isaiah David Paul and Maurice Gray, two outstanding fictional authors, and myself, we're going to make up this anthology, Christian Fiction Anthology, and it is due out. We pushed the date back to 2014, looking at January, February release. But so far, I've given some samples of the story out to some people, the uncut story, and people liked it. So I'm actually excited because this is my second official trip down the fictional lane. First time I went this route was in 2009, and these two brothers were in the book Soul of a Man, along with, there were 13 of us, so along with 9 other brothers and myself, we won an award, 2009 Anthology of the Year. So to have two of the brothers and myself together in another book, knowing that we won an award before, I'm getting very excited of the potential and the possibilities of this project. Plus, I have been focusing on my own writing and the things that I'm going to do going forward, like I said I was. And so now the only thing left is health, is that, you know, I made the decision. I think I'm going to get a personal, not I made the decision, and I think I made a decision to get a personal trainer because, left to my own regard, I'm not going to push myself as hard. So I'm going to get a personal trainer so I can start putting the time and effort in. Bowling has been going pretty well. I'm happy to be back bowling after a year hiatus. Actually rolling the ball pretty good. Just got to work out some more kinks, but this is what it's about. So I'm excited. And I'm excited for the baby. I'm excited to be a father again. Everybody asks, are you still making babies at age? Like 45 is old. But when my father said he made my brother at 46, I realized that, you know what, we really do have something in common. And if you haven't read my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, you need to, because you will see that my father and I are the spitting image of each other, because he has 7 children. I'm going to have 7 children. He had his last child at 46. I'm going to have my child, God willing, at 46. He's 9 years older than his wife. I'm 9 years older than my wife. He likes full-figured women. I love full-figured women. He named my brother Elijah. I named my son Elijah, and we had never met. We didn't meet each other until I was 39 years old, 2 years after I gave my life to the Lord. And also,
you know what I find funny, honey?
Go ahead.
Speaking of that, because you know how people who don't believe in a higher power say, oh, that's coincidence? That's just too much coincidence.
Too much.
Too
I mean,
much.
We're so similar that it is ridiculous. And, you know, my father and I, when I was down in Maryland about a month or so ago, you know, we really shared some emotional things. And he said, how many people could we actually bring to the Lord with all the things that we've done and been through? And it was shocking because I had already started thinking some of those same things. He wants to buy a church, and I am trying to move into a position where I'm doing more with the church. And so I said to him, we don't actually have to do it together because he's down in Maryland, I'm here in New York. But I said, David and Solomon were father and son, but each are recognized for who they were and what they did with the talents that the Lord gave them. And I said, that's how we're going to have to do it. And so, of course, Sunday I had my baptismal class. So now the only thing I have to do is write my testimony. And then they'll let me know what day of the baptism. And I am opening up the doors and saying anybody that would like to come and celebrate with me getting baptized, I would appreciate the support, love the support, because I'm taking that next step to strengthen my beliefs and my faith, and this is a purely selfish thing. I'm not even going to lie. I'm doing this because I want to strengthen my walk with our Heavenly Father for myself first, and then as the protector of my wife and new child, as well as this is the direction that I want to go in. So the doors will be open for anybody that wants to come in and enjoy the celebration with Tiff and I. And I'll have that date soon. We'll definitely let that know on another show. But this is where it is. And I've been praying real hard and fasting because I am hoping to figure out where we're going to move to. It looks like Delaware, and I know I've said that in the past, but now it's just a matter of creating opportunities, which is actually what I'm working on. And I've been networking and talking to a lot of folks, and this is what we do. And so my week has been real good. I'm going to the doctor Saturday, and hopefully all the news will be pretty good. And, you know, we're going to take it from there. So as we come to the bottom of our first half an hour, we are going to take a quick break as we normally do at the bottom half of the hour. And then we have, I see we have a caller on the line. We'll take the caller as soon as we come back from the break. You're listening to Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin. That is my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Do not go anywhere. I know it's scandal tonight, but you know what? That's what DVR is for. Call somebody up and tell them to tune in, because we're going to talk about some things. We still have the news to talk about, and we definitely want to talk about that situation with the bikers. We also have a couple other subjects, and then we're going to get into the main subject of tonight. I was just about to tell you, but that would be breaking protocol. Anyway, we'll be back in two songs. Don't go anywhere. We got a fun show tonight. See you in two songs.
Said it'd be easy, baby. Yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. Girl, I wanna take the time and thank you just for putting up with me. And I'm sorry that you even had to deal with me. Even though I made you cry, I wanna make it right. Just give me some time to make it right. I go the extra mile to make you smile and just to make your day. I'll go out my way, I'll do whatever it takes. Baby, promise me you say, baby, would you just say, baby, stay with me, stay, baby, won't you stay with me? I know that I messed up over 1,000 times. Said you wouldn't forgive me, but somehow I changed your mind. And now that we're here, I just can't let you go. And now I got you here, baby girl, I gotta let you know. I go the extra mile to make you smile and just to make your day. I'll go out my way, I'll do whatever it takes. Baby, would you just say, say, baby, baby, won't you stay? Stay right here with me, baby, stay with me, hey. Girl, I need you in my world. I want you to always be my girl. Even though I messed up, ooh, I messed up, you took good care, always took care of me. Baby, would you just stay, stay,
begging y'all.
Tell the truth.
Hey, hey. No, no, no.
You wonder who's calling so damn late. For you to say I'm tripping, just a homie from the state.
Don't he know it's 1 o'clock in the morning?
Say it's cool, baby, it's cool.
Maybe I deserve
for you to say he's coming into town.
He was just wondering. You and him could hang out.
I don't like it, but I know I gotta trust you.
It ain't cool, cause I know it's true.
Maybe I deserve
for you to go out and find some other guy.
Maybe I deserve
for you to stay out with them all night.
Maybe I deserve
for you to do all the things I did to you.
Maybe I deserve.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
For you to go out and find some other guy.
For you to stay out with them all night.
For you to do all the things I did to you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
For you to put on a sexy dress.
To ask you who the hell you trying to impress,
for you to laugh it all like it ain't nothing.
I know it's something, maybe
it's
to sit at home and wonder where you are.
Is it kissing you, touching you, holding you? What?
Take a drink to help ease my mind.
I wanna be mad
after all those times.
I
deserve for you to go out and find some other guy.
Maybe I deserve
for you to stay out with them all night.
Maybe I deserve
for you to do all the things I did to you.
Maybe I deserve.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I
oh yeah.
Your neck until you let me know.
For
you to run crying, crying out the door.
Oh.
To grab my coat and chase you down the street.
Baby, so please
say it's not you.
It's my home and security.
When you hear them, ah, Tyrese and Tank, and it, see, that's why I'm glad the brothers got together, man. We need real R&B back, man. That's good old fashioned R&B, man. Where the hell you been? Who the hell you trying to impress? That's what I'm talking about. And then realize maybe I deserve. Yeah, you should have stayed your butt home, bro. Great music selection. Great music choices. Welcome back. Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin, and my lovely wife and co-host Tiffany is on the other end. And we're going to get right into, before we get into the news, we're going to take a phone call. We're going to change things around because the news could go a little long talking about the motorcyclists and everything like that. If you don't already know, we'll go through it. But we're going to go right to the phones because we got someone that called in. Brother Weathersby, are you there?
I
Yes, sir.
Mr. Weathersby, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's up this evening, my brother? How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm just sitting here listening to you guys. That's what's up right now.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Hope you're enjoying yourself.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you, sis.
Thank you.
Yeah, How's it going this evening, brother?
It's going very well. It's been good all day, so there's no need for it to stop.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
Well, man, I'm glad you called into the support, man. And then also I'm glad that the Lord led us together to be able to talk. I got your message today and heard loud and clear, brother, so I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely, bro. And I was listening to several things that you were talking about. I know I just had my doctor's appointment on yesterday, and we're going to speak those things into existence, though they were. I said that when I went to that, before I went to the doctor, I expected there was going to be good results, and I knew what was going to happen. When I showed up yesterday, I wasn't surprised when she told me, oh, yeah, your A1C went down and everything else is fine. Well, I knew that. I just, just had to go there and just have to just put a good seal stamp of approval on it. And then everything's just been going great. And I also heard you talking about resuming bowling after a year. I had stopped bowling for 7 years after I had my last knee surgery in 2003 and didn't resume it until 2010. And I know it can be done because, as a matter of fact, I was just talking with my fiancé before I called in here. I was thinking about when I was doing my travels about going to the bowling alley, which is not that far from where I live. But tomorrow I'm going to be there.
That's it. Well, it's funny because I took the year off because my wrist was bothering me, and I had a problem with my shoulder some time ago, too. I had to take off a little bit. But I've been competitively bowling since, I really want to say 1981. I don't think I've only taken two breaks. Yeah,
I was going to challenge you if you came down here to Delaware. I was going to challenge you if you came down here to Delaware, but it sounds like you a quasi-pro.
You don't want that, bro. That wouldn't even be pretty. Our professional relationship might come to an end if that happens. I can do all things through Christ
that strengthen me. I ain't scared.
Well, yeah, but Christ made us to sit back and let us handle it ourselves, and I don't want to see that happen to us.
Bro, let me tell you, my bowling ball is in my car. I don't even take it out of the trunk.
That's
my bowling ball. We'll have game. We'll travel.
That's fine, man. I've seen this happen to brothers, man. They grab that bowling ball up and they think that they can just pick it up. And then when they handed me that money, I tell them, hold your head up.
Oh, no, I don't gamble. No, well,
you
got to
pay for the games, bro. If you're going to make me come down here and lose, you got to pay for the game. So either way.
Well, I'll just do that just to bless you. I just welcome you to Delaware. You coming to Delaware. I'm going to be the welcoming committee, my brother.
That's it. Right there on Route 13. I know all about Bolarama, brother. I've been down
there. Not Bolarama. It's First State, right down the road from where I live, State off of I-495.
Not a problem. We can make it there. Well, if they got the pins, I'll be there.
They got pins. Come on down.
But that's one of the first things I got to look at. Actually, when we were in Seaford, we were looking up. I was talking to a brother where the different bowling alleys are because that's all I really need. If I got the church to go to and a bowling alley to go to.
Oh, there's churches,
and I
but
got
there's
some
First
people
State,
to hang out
bro.
Be good. Definitely,
First State bowling, that's where I go. And also I heard you talking about the temple. I'm working on that right now. That's another aspect of what's going on with me. And I'm just a few little stages away from going through. I'm doing the gastric sleeve surgery, the bariatric gastric sleeve surgery. And it's something that's been in the works for almost 10 years now, but I didn't really need to do it. Because of the inactivity with the legs and the knee problem, I need to have drastic weight loss. And so I'm in the process of that's going to happen either in late November or early December.
I got you, and blessings with that. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be like it's supposed to be. You know,
I've lost about 17 pounds since June.
I thought about that route, and that was actually a consideration, but one of the things that I said I wanted to do before I considered any type of step medically, I wanted to put in the time and effort because when I had a trainer before, we lost what we needed to lose a little bit.
Right.
But I wound up hurting my ankle, pressing myself a little too hard, and it wound up putting me up on the shelf, and I couldn't bowl for a couple weeks. And like I said, I really do it because I do it for money. I bowl twice. I bowl actually twice a week now, as well as I bowl as part of an organization that I'm a part of. So I can keep anything up for any period of time.
You got your PBA card, don't you?
You
bowled in the regional tournaments, don't you?
I do have a license 300. I do have a registered 300 when you check my
And you bowl in the regional tournaments, PBA tournaments, don't you? I'm exposing, man. I says, I'm exposing him just in case he don't try to hustle somebody out there. I'm letting him know he a pro.
you averaging
over 220?
Nah, I'm about close. I'm right about to, but I think this season I'll
okay,
be a little
bit. Okay, see, but if you're a scratch bowler.
Yeah, see,
that's what I'm talking about. All right? Now, that ain't no problem. I'm not scared. I'll just do it for the love of the game, but don't be surprised if I just roll up on something.
Like I told you, that Christians don't get there because ain't no back plate, and we don't run. No back plate at all. We don't run.
I like that.
That's it. We don't run. But
brother,
listen,
that sounds like a plan.
I want to say it's been a blessing since we've had the chance to talk, and I do really look forward to the partnership and the brotherhood,
yes,
the fellowship that we're going to be able to put forward because, you know, as you and I spoke before, the Lord places people in your life, and we all know sometimes for a season, sometimes only for a day, and sometimes for a lifetime, and we don't
That's
know
right.
He has an answer. But I can definitely say that I know the Lord is moving simply because who the brother connected you to and then brought it to me. That's only the Lord paying forward and backwards the things that he puts into motion. Because Brother Faith
That's
Walker
right.
and I have been connected to each other for some time, and I've noticed that the brothers and sisters that he brings to me or refers to me and then vice versa, there's blessings there. The blessings continue.
Yes, sir.
So I look forward in seeing where the Lord is going to take us and what the Lord is going to do because, you know, this is what it's about, kingdom building. And we
yes,
can't
sir.
Accept We can't do that if we don't actually reach out to other brothers and sisters in the kingdom. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that brothers and sisters make. They search all over, not realizing that they probably have someone that's connected to them in the kingdom right up under their nose, and they don't
right
even realize
the nose.
They don't open their mouth.
And you said a mouthful, sir, and that's so sad because we got the instruction. We got the book that tells us that is actually so. And when I use the illustration for people to really get the understanding, all they have to do is go to the Bible in Acts in the second chapter on the day of Pentecost when the Bible said they was in one place on one accord and the Holy Ghost fell down on everybody.
That's it.
And Peter, who was weak in the faith 53 days prior because, you know, He denied Christ three times, and then the last time he even cursed that he didn't
mm-hmm.
even know the man. He preached
mm-hmm.
that on that day, and the Bible says 3,000 people got added to the church.
That's it.
And Jesus told Peter, he says, you know what, Peter, I pray for all of y'all because Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I pray for all of you. And then he told Peter, once you become strengthened, strengthen the brethren. And he got strengthened on the day of Pentecost, and he strengthened everybody. And when the people went out from there, and all these churches that we know of in Rome and other places, they were started from the people that were there on the day of Pentecost.
And
a lot of times churches make the mistake. I've heard people in church say that they want the gifts flowing in the church. Well, that's not going to happen until you're in unity and you're in unison with one another. There are going to be some pockets within the body that's going to get that way because of their personal relationships, but the whole church as a whole, not unless you're in unison.
That's it. And, you know, that's the one accord, and I think too often we forget that we're supposed to go out and serve others. And in our
yeah.
service is how we actually receive the blessings that we're entitled to us. I think I once wrote, it is through our service that we actually become who God designed us to be.
That's right.
And we forget that. So it is my hope going forward that we continue to keep doing the things that we need to do because I can't wait see those blessings and experience those blessings because, you know, right here, right now, I can say that I can choose those because I know my spirit was, my light was flickering. But then I read the other day when Moses was standing there watching the war and he had
yes.
two brothers holding up his arm, and I realized that's another
that's
reason
right.
why people are sent to us is that when you're tired, the Lord will send someone to hold you up.
That's right.
Simply to get you through. And then once that war is through, now something else goes on. So this is what it is. But brother,
yes, sir.
I want to tell you thank you for calling in because the
You're
wife and I
welcome.
Are going to go forward. But we're definitely going to talk soon. I'll probably give you a call sometime this weekend, and we'll definitely catch up and talk. And because I'm like
and
I said, I'm going to take you up on what we talked about because we're definitely going to finish up on that text that you sent
yes,
me, so we can
absolutely.
Take it from there.
And if you guys get a chance, listen in on Saturday because me and my fiance, Pastor Sherry Olympia Scales, we do
mm-hmm.
a relationship program where just on Bible. And discussing about
well, tell
how
them all the information. Tell them
okay.
the links, everything.
Well,
give it all, man. We don't have a problem with that. Go right ahead.
Well, praise the Lord. It's called Unless the Lord Builds the House, which we know that scripture comes from Psalm 127:1a. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And it came from my book that I wrote back in July of 2011 in 3 days called Unless God Builds the House. And it just simply means that the relationship building, whether it's any individual, interpersonal, or particularly I focus on marriage, God has to be in the center of that thing. And it, and you build it from him, and it goes from there. And so we have this program that we just deal, go into the Bible and show people how the relationships that we have with one another, they mirror the relationship God desires between us and him. And if you don't do it right in your marriages, you're not doing it right in your families, you're not doing it right with him.
Amen.
And so this program comes under the mantle of Enterprisement Media Group, EMG, which is, you know, Faith Walker over there is a Christ executive officer, CEO. That comes on Saturday nights from 9 to 10:30. The call-in number is 347-945-5416. Or they can go on the internet and they can go blogtalkradio.com/Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, on the spot.
Actually, amen. Brother, we're going to have you back on soon. We're going to work out the time because this way we're going to dedicate a show to everything that you're doing. Because your building of relationships works with what we're building in relationships because God is at the center of it. So we're going to have you come back on in the future and actually invite you and your lovely fiance to come on. And we're going to actually build and work on some relationships. And we're going to actually set some things up so folks can really get to know who you are, your books and your work and everything. And this way we can actually start some of that kingdom building that we talked about. But I definitely appreciate you calling in tonight.
Well, I thank you, and I'm glad to be here. And again, I just wanted to support you guys because, you know, that's where we're supposed to. We're helpers one unto another, and that's why God. That's why we're here on this planet.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, thank you so much. Definitely.
You're quite welcome. Yeah.
All
right.
Blessings.
Thank you very much, and God bless you. And good night. And good night, sis.
Good night. Thank you for calling in.
All right.
You're quite welcome.
That's brother. That's brother. That's Brother Weathersby from Delaware, and you know what? It's been a pleasure talking to the brother, and it's been a pleasure getting to know him. And I got to be honest, this is why you network. This is why you open up your mouth. This is why you do for other people, because you'd be surprised who they speak to and then who they actually tell to come back to you and set things up. And it's been a pleasure. And a shout-out to Faith Walker and EMG, Enterprisement Media Group. I have the wonderful pleasure of being connected to a wonderful organization that is growing and building into something tremendous. And shout out to GQ Palace Radio because they give us all a platform to be able to do the things that we do. So shout out to Rich and Lavina behind the scenes who make it happen, because every night, Monday through Saturday, Sunday through Saturday, excuse me, they're on the air. Wonderful shows on. Make sure that you tune in. Same station, same phone number. There's got to be something that you like. Just tune in every night. You'll definitely find something. Stop by Blog Talk Radio, GQ Palace Radio, and you'll actually see the lineup. You'll be able to listen to some of the past shows. Make sure you tell a friend because those hits are needed. The more that people click on the links and listen to the shows, that allows GQ Palace Radio behind the scenes to go out and promote to other venues, which then increases the number of people that get to listen, which increases the things that we can do. So we hope that everybody will take that to heart and make it happen. Now, going forward, baby doll, we got 10 minutes before the end of the hour because we're going to talk about our subject. Well, let's give the subject and we're going to go to the news. From 9 to 10, we're going to talk about what do you do if your best friend, if your significant other's best friend hits on you, do you tell your significant other? Now, before you call in to answer the question, that was what we're going to talk about after the break at 9 o'clock. Do you tell your significant other if their best friend hit on you? I want you to think about that because we're going to talk about that. But right now, for the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the news because it'd be a miss if we didn't bring up the news. Tiff and I have been talking about this since we heard it with the motorcycle.
Everybody
on the motorcycle
been talking about it.
So if they don't know, tell them what the situation is, baby doll.
Yes, it's been the topic since Sunday. There was an incident on Sunday here in New York where there's an annual event where all the motorcyclists get together and they parade their motorcycles in the
Times
city.
Times Square. Yeah.
In Times Square. They actually, I learned, don't have a permit to do this. They haven't gained the permit to do it, but they've done it for the past 4 years. And every time they do it, there's an issue. Well, this past Sunday, they were getting together, and there was an incident on the West Side Highway. We don't know how it began or what caused it, but there's a lot of footage because one of the bikers had on a helmet cam. And basically, from what I've seen from the footage, and also from the articles that I've shows a car. He's the Range Rover, and he has several motorcycles around him, on the side of him, on the back of him, in front of him. One of the particular motorcyclists decides to cut him off and slow down in front of him, the Range Rover. And the Range Rover hits the motorcycle.
Breaking his leg.
Now, breaking his leg, and everyone stops. Now, the story differs depending on who's telling it, but basically you can see from the video the motorcycle stops, the Range Rover stops, and then in another part of footage you see the Range Rover driving over a
few basically, hold on a second. Basically what is being said is that they surrounded him because they were getting at him for hitting the guy and breaking the guy's leg. Now, people are saying, now the report was they started slashing his tires.
Right, they started
damaging his car. Dented his car, slashed his tires. So out of fear, he drives over two or three of them at the time, paralyzing or really damaging one of them. And then the chase begins, which then finishes up in the city where they catch up, smash his windows, smash his car, pull him out of the car, and basically beat him senseless. But he was released from the hospital later on with his wife and child inside the car watching this whole thing. Now,
Yes. The
question that Tip and I have, we both agree that the motorcycle guys were wrong. Here's my question. I believe that my man should do some time for running over the three people. Tip feels that nothing's going to happen to him because he was fearful of his life and that it is what it is. I just think I don't know what he could have done.
The thing is, and honestly, the law actually says that in that circumstance, if he was fearful of his life and he could do what he needed to do to get away, I think it's very unfortunate that the gentleman was injured, his spine was broken, and he will never again. But the reaction of the other motorcyclists beating on the car, slashing the tires, I can't see anyone that can say I would have did something differently. You haven't been in that situation.
But remember, that is the basis for the Stand Your Ground law in Florida, that if you feel your life is threatened, you can use deadly force. So there is laws around the country that speak to if you are fearful. Now, I don't know what they are in New York, and Tiff and I have to do a little more research on that, but I have to honestly say I understand what it is to be fearful of your life. You have your wife and your child in the car. The problem is he ran over one of the guys who was helping the guy who originally got hit. And you're helping one of the Samaritans. He wasn't smashing your car. He wasn't. Now, I know you're not thinking you just do whatever, but there's got to be some price to pay for running over a dude who was trying to help one of the other guys. He wasn't hurting you.
Well, one thing I
got a problem with that.
One thing I have to say, because we actually discussed this, KL and I are in a bowling organization, and the bowling organization posted the question on the Facebook page. And I mentioned that, yes, he ran over people, but at what point do you sit in your car and allow people to beat your windows in, obviously try to take, because originally they tried to open his door to take him out of the car. At what point is it okay for you to say, you know what, I need to get out of here before your life is in danger? So, yes, it's unfortunate that people got run over, But the way they acted, and I have to say, it was reported in the news that prior to this incident occurring on the highway, there were 200 calls to 911 reporting the reckless way these motorcyclists were driving.
But hold on,
and
hold
on top
hold
of that,
on
top of, I got to finish, let me finish.
Go ahead,
on top
go ahead.
Of the same camera that captured the incident on the West Side Highway, they saw other footage of how reckless they were driving, running red lights, running stop signs, driving on the sidewalk where pedestrians were walking and literally jumping out of the way. So those motorcyclists were not concerned about anybody's safety. So who's to say that this man is sitting in his car with his wife and 2-year-old child, and now they're beating on his car based on an incident that was caused by one of their people?
I got you.
He incited a riot. The motorcyclist incited a riot. And what's funny
motorcyclist incited a riot, or the guy in the car incited a riot?
The motorcyclist, because he's the one that initiated the initial conflict. And what's funny is he's actually facing charges. He was charged with reckless endangerment of a child, menacing, imprisonment. He was in charge with a lot of things that he's facing, and his lawyer is trying to get him off. But the video clearly shows that he cut the car off and stopped in front of the car for no reason.
I got you.
They still haven't given a reason for that to take place.
I just feel bad because the guy that got paralyzed has 2 children also, and his back was broken.
And you know what I said about that? It's unfortunate, but the company you keep speaks volumes. Because when they looked at his record, he had 60 tickets regarding reckless endangerment.
I did my homework.
On top of the fact that he was on a motorcycle when he got hit and did not have a license because his license was revoked.
I'm going to fold my king's. I can't win right now.
Some people may say, unfortunately, it happened and he'll never walk again, but that's a hard price to learn.
It's a hard lesson to learn.
That's crazy.
All right. I tip my hat. So, yeah, I fold you one, because after now making that argument, it does sound like they were in the wrong. Because, you know, I'm thinking about it. If you are fearful of your life, you're not really worried about your surroundings. And I said earlier, the first law of life is self-preservation. So the first thing is to try to get yourself out of the situation. Wow.
It's very unfortunate. And I feel sorry for his wife, but his wife also has to understand that look at the circumstances. How long was that man supposed to sit there while these people tore up his car, tried to take him? You don't know if they're going to take his wife out the car and beat her up. You know, they were acting hooligans.
Somebody said that on the radio earlier. They said that one of the bikers said, well, he didn't have to get out of his car, he was safe in his car. But I'm like, you clearly see someone breaking your window, and
yes,
you see a group of guys, and you're in here with your wife and child. Your fear is, if I can't protect them, they're going to get hurt. So he's trying to get them out. You know, and, you know, of course, later on we see that they only dragged him out of the car, but how many times have we heard crazier things or seen crazier things? So I definitely understand. So, yeah, I'm going to give in to that one. I'm going to say, yeah, I don't think he's going to do any time. But I don't know. I guess it is a company you keep, because there's something to that. It's just sad all the way around that there's 2 children out there now that have a paralyzed father who was actually trying to help somebody. And so it is definitely sad. So my prayers are with everyone involved. And hopefully there's no retaliation on either side, one way or the other. So.
Yeah. If they're going to be angry.
Sorry. Go ahead, baby.
I was just going to say, if they're going to be angry with anybody, they have to be angry with the guy who initiated the first accident.
True.
That didn't happen, they wouldn't have been in that incident. It's just that plain and simple. He should not have pulled in front of the car and stopped for no reason.
True. Yeah, it's a cause and effect. If you don't put it into motion, then we're not having the rest of this going on. And that man is still with his children and everything in place. But it's just sad. So our prayers go out to them. It is 9 o'clock. Do you want to hold off on your question that you wanted to ask? Because I know you wanted to talk about that, but I really would like to talk about
that. We can actually hold off until the end because we want to talk about our topic. So we can hold off to the end.
All right, so I'll tell you what. We're going to take, it is 9 o'clock. We normally take, you want to go straight into it or you want to go right into the break? Which one?
We can go into the break and then come back.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for listening to Reality and Relationships. It is 9 o'clock. We're going to take a two-song break. Let the DJ do his thing. Let us do our thing behind the scenes. And when we come back, we're going to answer that question. If your significant other's best friend hits on you, do you tell your significant other or not? Think of that answer. And if you want to call in, 646-200-3838, and let the host know that you'd like to answer the question, and we would love to hear from you. We'll be back in two songs.
When I think about it,
baby,
all I can do is shake my head. 'Cause there ain't no explanation on this earth. Oh, you must be heaven sent with your crazy, 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 crazy love. Boy, you got me so.
about to punch out of here. Girl, I promise, and I'm coming straight home to you, my dear. Whoa. So just make sure you've got that nothing on, and you're waiting for me, baby. You to walk through the door and give it to you, baby. Every way possible, just how you like it, babe. And I'm so thankful for my shining star. So glad I don't have to wonder where you are now. I'm about to get on the elevator, baby, going down. I'm coming home, home, home. One step closer. What I'm gonna do when I get to you. Ooh, 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 ooh. Hey, time must be on our side, cause
must be on.
Baby, so far every light is a green light, yeah. And soon I'll be there, so girl, beware. I'm gonna kiss you up and down in between, having your body screaming, yeah. Oh, I'm so thankful for my little shining star. And girl, I'm so glad I don't have to wonder where you are. Baby, you don't have to worry no more. Cause soon I'll be coming through the door.
One step closer.
Oh, baby. Just one step closer. To you.
To you.
Baby. And it won't be long.
One step closer.
Nice songs right there. I love the DJ, man. Can I get a round of applause for the DJ? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. We're going to go right into it. So, darling,
yes,
one
sir.
Of my boys hits on you. I think I know the answer, but what do you do? Do you come and tell me?
I think it's the responsibility of the partner to tell.
You might get somebody killed.
Only because you don't want to make it seem like you're hiding something from your partner.
Very true.
Because we know how things go today, and people fool around with this person, fool around with that person. And the last thing I would want is my husband asking me, well, why didn't you tell me such and such was trying to hit on you? If he, you know, found out some information, or, you know, it's funny because I've heard of situations being turned around too, where the guy friend gets caught trying to hit on his friend's woman and then tries to make it seem like it was the other way around.
No,
so you don't want
that.
To be in that type of circumstance. So I think it's very important to just be upfront, be honest, say, listen, this is what's happening. I know in the situations I've been in, I've told KO that his friends have been a little too friendly, but I've also put his friends in their place so that KO does not have to address it. So I find it funny that they probably don't even know that I've done, that I've told KO what happened, but they sit around thinking, oh, she didn't say anything. Because we did have a situation like that. So.
Well, you know, I know what most brothers, I'm going to say it like this. If you and your lady don't have that type of relationship where y'all can actually have real communication. Now, let me be very honest right now. Is that Tiff and I have a very strong bond when it comes to communication. We share things that maybe other couples have to work towards getting to share, and that's just simply based on who we are as individuals. So, yes, I would come to Tiff and say, yo, why your girl hit on me? But I wouldn't come in any type of antagonistic way. It just be whatever, because I would have shut it down before it even went anywhere. But the reason why I'm going to tell Tiff is for the same reason that she's saying it. I don't want someone saying later, yo, why was your husband, or twisting it or whatever. And or if it does come out, yeah, but when I came at him, he didn't say nothing, and then it's looking like I am hiding something. So yeah, I'm going to tell her, because she's my wife, and we go through that all the time. You know, she'll say so-and-so just did whatever, I'll, you know, and I'm like, okay. My trust for my wife is such that I know she's going to handle the situation. Now, I have heard my wife say to me that I'm too flirtatious, and that sometimes it creates a situation where chicks feel, okay, he's flirtatious, I got a shot, so I have to be very careful that when I'm just being my natural self, that I'm not crossing any lines towards her friends or anybody else or the relationship. And I am very mindful of that. Now, back to what I was saying earlier. If you know you have an explosive companion, significant other, wife or husband, and you know that their first thing they doing is grabbing the Grey Goose bottle and busting somebody over the head with it, you might need to deal with that situation, fix that situation, and then figure out how you're going to tell your significant other, only because you got to be very careful with how you present information.
Wait a minute. I have to say, if you're in a relationship where your significant other is that explosive, then you need to work on your relationship.
True, but they may be working on it, and the friend was like, yo, now's my shot. And this is what you got to keep that in mind, though. Also, you know, you better be mindful of what's being said, too, because you may not know what your significant other is actually feeding your friend, his friend. So listen to the way the person comes at you, too, before you just... There could be things that could tip themselves, and the hands could be tipped there, too. So I definitely would say tell, but just pay attention and see what's going on. See if a game is being played. See if you're in the midst of something you don't need to be in. Maybe he's lost a little faith, so he's putting his man to the test, to test you. You know, people do stupid things like that. I've heard of it. I've seen it. Also, you don't know what the friend knows about your significant other, so he might be figuring, well, he out humping the streets. Let me try to do something at home. We did see Cadillac Records when Muddy Waters was out running the street. And my man was in the house talking about, hey, put your feet up. And tried to make the move on Money's wife. So these things happen. But I'm just saying, be careful. It's dangerous. But you got to know your relationship. You got to know your partner. And you got to look at, Are you misinterpreting flirting? Or this was this a clear attempt at the panties? Or the
well,
draw?
I remember when it was a clear attempt in our situation, and the person contacted me on Facebook, sent me an inbox, and I don't laugh.
Say no names.
We're not going to say who it was or anything because I don't want to embarrass the person because the person is actually a good friend of ours, a mutual friend now. But prior to them actually knowing me, they only saw me around. They saw me in passing. And, you know, I'm flattered when, you know, somebody finds me attractive. You know, I model, I do pageantry. It's part of what I do that people are judging me on a constant basis. So, I mean, people tell me, give me compliments all the time. But this person took it a little bit further and actually wanted to, I'm just going to say, he just took it too far. And basically,
because the old man's game wasn't tight.
Basically knowing that I was a married woman. And there are enough married women out there that do it, so I don't blame him because, you know, unfortunately that's what's put out there in society now. But I let him down very, you know, respectfully and said, no, I'm not that type of person. And I'm sorry, you know, if you thought that, you know, I was coming off that way, but it's not going to go down like that. And then I told my husband, and I said to him, you're not going to believe, but this person sent me an inbox on Facebook. Now, what I found very interesting, and I have to give him credit, is later on when we had to be in close proximity of each other on a regular basis, that person actually told my husband, listen, I didn't mean no disrespect. He apologized. And he said to my husband, listen, I tried to holler at your wife. And I'm just, that amazed me because not many men are going to do that. So
that's to prevent the booty whipping that might have came if you had told me. So he wasn't sure if you had told me or not. So he was like, let me get things straight now that we cool, because if she tell him now why we cool, I might get roughed off. But it's all right. I'm not that dude anymore. Thank the Lord for that.
But how did he react when you told him that I had told you already?
Well, he was relieved because he had already, you know, because he saw my reaction to what he said. But I think the funny thing is what I normally do is I'll make jokes about things surrounding everything about what might have been said, which puts a little pressure on the person who said something because they're not sure if I'm referring to what they did. And the guilty conscience, just like in the Telltale Heart, you Edgar Allan Poe fans need to go back and read that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Edgar Allan Poe, Telltale Heart, look it up.
You are
anyway.
Giving your age away. Oh, my God.
What? Because
I referenced Edgar Allan Poe? Edgar Allan Poe is one of my favorite authors, but you don't hear people really quote from Edgar Allan Poe anymore.
Hold on. If cats don't know about the Telltale Heart and they wasn't paying attention in high school, that's not my fault. Read the Telltale Heart. It was really my man did some dirt, gave himself away. Anyway, I'm not going to, you know, whatever. Yes, I have some literary skills. Anyway, but no, it was all right simply because, you know, a person's conscience can eat at them. Their spirit can eat at them. And especially as things start to change, people can start to worry. People start to worry. And so this person felt, you know what, better just say something now than things becoming, you know, negative, because there are some people that they don't care if they hear about it and it was 6 years ago, 10 years ago, they fly off the handle and you don't know if you're dealing with that type of person. I'm not that dude. Like I said, I trust my wife. I believe that my wife has things under control. And if a person was pressing, now after she tried to shut it down and was still being very disrespectful, oh, she definitely would come quickly and we deal with it. But yeah, it's also how Tiff presents something to me that's going to dictate how I do things also. Like if she felt offended in any particular way, oh, we might have a conversation right then and there at the time, and with the hope that it's not going to become anything negative. I really try not to be a violent dude at all. There's no real, but I will protect my lady, but I try not to let it get thing in that aspect. That's the reason why I said you need to know and understand the relationship that you're in or where you are, where your significant other is inside their own head. If your significant other is not built for the truth, not that you should ever keep the truth from them, find a different way to present the truth to them. It might take time. It might take you and somebody else. It might take maybe some days in between. Whatever it is, but the truth has to be given. You should never hold on to it and make it seem like it could turn into a lie. That'll create issues that you don't need in your relationship when neither one of you did anything wrong.
Now, there was a question posted in the Facebook general question page. Did he know that was your wife? And yes, the person who attempted to, you know, initiate something with me, he knew that KL was my husband. Actually, KL and his father are good friends. Were good friends. So, yes, he knew.
I'm saying, you know, at that point, we're going to just
they're not going to know.
TMI. All that wasn't necessary. Yes. The thing was, him and I, we were not as close that we grew closer, and he took a shot. I mean, he was doing what he do. First of all, Tiff is a very attractive woman. I don't fault the man for taking a shot as a man. The problem would lie with her. Now, the thing was, once he got to know the man that I am, he then realized that it was even wrong for him to go there because we were cool or somewhat cool. We grew cooler later on, but he was able to understand that he made a mistake, and he didn't even have to say anything to me because I was cool with it. He came to me and apologized, which showed me something about the man inside of him as he realized what role I played as friends. And sometimes we have to make sure our egos are in check too, because we can really hold on to foolishness for too long when it's not necessary. Okay, somebody said something. Somebody did something wrong. If the apology was genuine, that works for me. And yeah, he was testing me. That's what dudes do. And if you got an attractive woman, understand, fellas, that some of the attacks will come inwardly. Listen, that's what the whole Judas story is about. The cat may be sitting right in your camp. And it is what it is. But you know what? This is why the bond between your significant other and you have to be one that has to be molded and shaped constantly, so the two of you are growing into one entity. The two of you are growing into something that you don't have to worry about your back, because your significant other has your back, and the same for you to them. And the two of you have to become such a unit that someone doesn't even attempt, because they already know they can't get past the one without knowing they're going to deal with the other one. And you two can create that. And actually, it'll start to emanate from you in such a way, people don't even bother. They just smile from afar. I ain't even trying. Yeah. She always around her man. I ain't saying nothing. She always up under his woman. I ain't saying nothing. I mean, there's still people taking shots now. Don't get it twisted. We see them, and they come over, and they smile, and they hug, and me and Tiff laugh. We go, okay, she don't think I see that? Or she don't think she saw that? I mean, I've had some women just be blatant with it, like, that's your wife? Yes, okay. What does that mean? But remember, your boys or your chicks that are cool with you, they know dirt, they know the positives, and sometimes the positives can look good to them too. And they might think that the relationship might work better with them than with you.
But
once they step
out of line, KL is a bigger man than I am, because
you don't compliment. I should be a bigger man than you. Clean that up. Maybe now.
I'm speaking figuratively, but the idea is, I personally would not be able to maintain a friendship with someone that I knew was trying to get at my husband. If we were friends and you tried to get at my husband, it would bother me tremendously, and we couldn't remain friends. So he's a bigger person than I am.
You know what it is? Because I think the reason why I don't hold on to it, the reason why I don't bug out, is I think you have to know where it's coming from. You have to understand people. Is that, you know, people like shiny things. People like nice things. People want more than they need. People want more than they should have. And just because something looks good, people want it. My thing is, what you do after the correction is put in place, that's really my test. is if someone, if you said to someone, yo, you need to chill, or I said to someone they need to chill, and they can't stop or they can't correct themselves, and now they continue to be disrespectful. See, it's the shame on, it's the one time shame on you, second time shame on me. We don't get to the second time. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm a person that believes the Lord is the center of my life. I'm also human. So I don't allow things to get to a point where I'll now start to act out of character because someone else can't control themselves. What I'll do is simply let a person know they've now reached the point that they should stop and not go any further. Now, if you want to test those perimeters and test those parameters, either one. You want to go past the perimeter, there's a penalty. You want to see the parameters of what my being is? Okay, I'll just ask the Lord to forgive me after I whoop you behind. And I'll say, Lord, you know, and that's where the you know my heart comes in. Yes, I am a man of God, but I am not a saint, and nor am I Jesus, so I am not perfect. Now, that doesn't mean I set out to whoop somebody behind. Or do I set out to sin? No, I do not. But if I am pushed to that point, I would like to believe that I have a resolve that would allow me to walk away and to do the things that I am supposed to do. But every man has a limit, and every woman has a limit. And I try not to place myself in positions where my limits could be tested. So I would then remove myself. Even if you thought I was soft, I might say, come on, baby, let's go. Not because I'm soft. It is because I am protecting you, the person that's doing it. Even though you may be sitting around with your chest out thinking, yeah, I punked him. No, brother. I just saved your life. Because I don't want you at the hospital going, it was an animal or something that attacked me. I don't know what that was. It was just
crazy. I literally got the
quick. Where's my ear?
My husband is not, he's not a violent man, but he's just saying that you don't want to push the limits.
And the funny thing is, we've gone through that, and I joke. And even when I'm joking, what's funny is my jokes, they stay. And sometimes you got to stop and be like, was he just being disrespectful? I'll let you figure it out. But so I have in the past, you know, situations where other brothers probably would have spazzed and wild out. The reason why I don't, and I'm being very honest now, the reason why I don't is that the anger that I could unleash is not something I ever want anyone to see. I don't even like to see it. And I have harmed people in the past. I have asked the Lord to forgive me. I am definitely no longer that man. But why let it go to that point over something that you can control? Okay, he made a pass at your woman. Okay, he stepped up and tried to kick it to your woman. If your woman shut it down, just remove yourself from that friendship. Now, if the person truly apologized and they come back and their reasoning is valid, now, does that mean I'm going to turn around and leave them with the keys to the mansion? Maybe not. That doesn't mean that me and that person can't sit down and break bread again, because that's also the test to the men and women that we're trying to be within the faith that we claim. I find it funny how many church folks pile into churches on Sunday, but they're kicking somebody behind on Saturday and Monday. So
right. At
some point, we have to live out the things that we say that we are. And it can't be no half behind and in between. It really has to be what it's going to be. And at this stage of my life, other than protecting Tiff, my children, and myself, I'm not getting into any physical altercations over words. I wouldn't care what you call me. I wouldn't care if you say I'm an F this and F that and my weight. Listen, as I tell my students, I didn't get heavy overnight, and I'm comfortable with the woman I'm with, so you can call me whatever you want. But if you place your hands on me, even then, I'm going to try very hard, very hard, to find a way to balance this out, because once it's on, one of us is beating our man. And I don't want to be on this line trying to complain. I got blood all over me when I get to the game. God, Lord, you built me. That's the only thing I can get out of this. It's time for play, but no. Real talk, I think we all have to make strides in our spiritual stuff to be able to control the fleshly self, and that's the comfort stuff. Some people may not understand that. Some people may listen and go, yeah, he's playing, he's not telling the truth, and he's lying. No, I'm being honest with you. But you have a stronger inner result. It can affect the outer action. And words and even certain feelings and emotions can be corralled if you work it. That's one reason why I unleash those feelings into poems that I write, into stories that I write, into speeches that I give, into the things that I do. So I don't have to have all that stored up, needing a place to get to. So when you don't release that negative energy, it's going to find a way out. And so what happens? Somebody says something to your husband, someone says something to your wife, you spat it out. And now you're just in a predicament where you've lost everything. See, I don't let that happen. I do the best I can to remove myself from the situation. Actually, the Lord tells you, please, for sin. So I don't run out and swear. I don't want to write you in, but I will walk out to school. What about you? Can I see you? Something.
Honey?
Yeah?
I can barely hear you. You're breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, what about you? Because I know if anything has gotten physical, you were the last person to get physical.
You know.
Since we've been together, you've been the person that's physical. I've just raised my voice, but we're not going to discuss the situation.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
You've been the last one to get physical with someone.
Physical?
Fighting?
It almost got physical, but it didn't actually get physical.
I was the one in between getting roughed off, but anyway.
Yeah. But that was
all right. Cool. Sorry, sorry for having a conversation and not letting y'all in. Actually, Tiff and a family member got into it, and I was in between the family member and Tiff as they were, you know, trying to do the haggler and Sugar Ray thing. So I had to kind of jump in between. So as everybody was swinging, I was the one taking all the blows.
I'm going to plead the fifth, but just know, I was like the driver in the Range Rover. I was like the driver in the Range Rover, and basically I was being attacked by the motorcyclist.
No, you wasn't. That was a poor now. You such a, you know what?
That's what I'm gonna say.
Such stories. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain something to you real quick. Tiff did not listen to her husband, and it caused her to break her ring finger. Not listening to her husband, she wound up breaking the finger that has her wedding band on it. That was her sign from the Lord that she should have listened to her husband. But she want to be Mike Tyson.
No, that's not true.
Or words.
Not true.
I'm sorry.
I'm not a violent person.
Or words being spoken?
I'm not a violent person. I'm a self-preservationist.
Or words being spoken?
Did you hear what I said? I'm a self-preservationist.
Okay, that's how we explain the violence?
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, it is 9:30. We're going to take our final break of the night, and then we come back. Tiff has a little feature that she wants to. She asked this question on the Make a Marriage Cool Again page, and she got some interesting responses, and she just wants to ask the question, or she wants to go over the question when we come back. And the question is, love? Hello?
So, I'm sorry.
I was saying the question that you have that you put on the Make Your Marriage Cool Again page, what was the question that we're going to go over when we come back from the break?
The Making Marriage Cool Again question was, when a couple is getting married, who should the RSVP return envelopes be addressed to? Is it the bride's parents, the groom's parents, both sets of parents, or what difference does it make? And I got some pretty interesting responses. So after, are we taking two songs or one song?
No, two songs. Our wax is 9:40, so we're going to take just one.
Okay, so after this one song, we're going to come back with some of the responses that people gave and actually what etiquette says.
Yes, we're going to do that.
Right after.
I don't know why this is important, but anyway, it's important to my wife, so if it's important to my wife, it's somewhat important to me. So you're listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10. We're only going to take a one-song break, so just stretch it back. We're on the home stretch. We'll be back in one song. Take it away, DJ.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. This is your host, Tiffany Belvin, and my dear husband, K.L. Belvin, is having some technical difficulties, so I'm not sure if he's back on the line.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
How does that sound? Better?
That sounds much better. You sound much clearer.
Thank you.
you know, I want to hear your wonderful baritone Barry White voice, so.
That's what I'm talking about. Take it away.
So basically, before we went to the break, we were discussing a question I posted on Facebook. And the reason why is because this show is called Reality and Relationships. And a lot of times we get our discussions from things that really happen in our lives. So that's the question was, if a couple is getting married, who should the RSVP envelope be returned to? Which address should appear on the return envelope? The bride's parents, the groom's parents, both parents, or what difference does it make? And it's interesting that a lot of times, because I saw another question posted regarding wedding etiquette, and it made me realize that sometimes people don't develop their ideal as society progresses, and they try to hold on to the same traditions, and unfortunately, it doesn't work. And basically, it was etiquette says or practicality rule. And basically, what people don't realize, etiquette just, it doesn't mean that that's the rule, that's how it's supposed to go. Etiquette just means that's the traditional way that it has been done based on whatever was going on before we all got here. So, I overheard a conversation where the mother of the son getting married was a little hurt that when the invitations went out, you know, the invitations say the daughter of such and such and such is getting married to the son of such and such and such, and this is the daytime place, show up. Well, the return envelopes were addressed to the daughter's parents, and the mother of the son felt that the return envelopes should have been partially addressed to her also. So basically, she felt whoever she invited should get the return envelope with her address on it, and whoever the bride's parents invited should get the return envelope with their address on it. Now, I told her I didn't see where it was a big deal, but she saw it as a big deal. So another coworker didn't see it as a big deal. Another coworker saw it and said, wow, well, you both are hosting the event, then parents' name should be on it. So I started looking around to actually see what etiquette said. And it's right, funny
can
how
I,
people...
Can I ask a question? Hold on, let me just jump in here a second. Can I say,
sure.
Who decides the etiquette part? Like, who decides that part? Like, where does the etiquette come from? Like, based on what?
Etiquette protocol has basically been passed down from generation to generation. Like I said, based on how things were done in the past before we all got here. And that's what I'm actually about to explain with this particular circumstance of why it was the way it was and why it is the way it is now. But basically, what happened in the past is most of the time, the bride's family was the one to host the wedding, which means when two people were getting married, the bride's family paid for the wedding. There was no expectation. And this was like long, long, long time ago, like several years, centuries ago, where the bride's family was expected to pay the wedding. The son, we're not going to get into that. The son and his family would show up and everything was paid for.
We can't get into if we were slaves or not?
No, we're not going to get into that because it's irrelevant.
If we're slaves, it shouldn't matter, though.
Will you stop it?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
The bride's family hosted, meaning whoever is considered the host is the person who paid for the wedding.
And what about dowries? Can we bring that back?
You know what's funny? We should bring back dowries. We should bring back dowries.
Take somebody's daughter, you got to pay their family dough. And like, I mean, if slavery don't count, look, I said, I bought your daughter. Listen, you know, your daughter's married to me now. Here's a bag of money, or here's a horse. The MP3 player.
Here's Jamaica's land.
Exactly. Here's my pit bull and my old SUV. Still gets good gas mileage. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So basically, that's how it was. The bride's family paid for everything, so they were considered the host of the wedding. Now, over the years, because of, you know, society and how things have changed traditionally, now
You lost your train of thought? Wake up, man. Hello. My lovely wife must be, she lost her connection. So, you know, of course y'all know I'm of the I don't care part, you know, that I click that part, so. Because I don't see what the big deal is. I think people make big deals out of, you know, craziness because it doesn't matter. But I guess, you know, it does. Especially like when you look at Bridezilla and other foolishness like that. Honey, are you there? She must be gone. I don't know what happened. Maybe her phone went out. But, well, ladies and gentlemen, it has been... I'm going to take it from here because I don't really care about this subject anyway. Y'all already know that. I'm like, please. All right, well, let's see. Tip will be back on in a second. But, you know, I guess...
Honey, I'm back. I'm sorry. I got disconnected.
All right, she's back. Hey, everybody sound excited. Yay! Yay!
You know what? You probably disconnected. Perfect.
I did not disconnect you. When you go back and listen, you'll hear what I said after you dropped out. Who really cares?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so basically, now a lot of times the couple's parents share the responsibility. So you'll have, like in our situation, where your mom and grandmother donated, my father and grandmother donated, and it's a shared responsibility.
Who?
What?
Father and who?
I said my father and grandmother.
Don't count if we give the money back.
We're not gonna get into that. Anyway,
you can't take
so basically,
money and hold on to.
Will you listen? Listen.
The truth.
Be
the
quiet.
Truth.
Be quiet.
Yeah, that's back. You want your money?
So in those cases where the responsibility is being shared, yes, you would have half the return envelopes addressed to the groom's parents and half the return envelopes addressed to the wife's parents because it's a shared responsibility because they're actually both hosting the event. Now, in the situation of my coworker, it was a little bit more complicated. And it's funny because when I posted the question on Facebook, a lot of people said the same thing. The bride's family should get the return envelope. And then other people said, well, who's paying for the wedding? The reason why it's complicated is because the person, the mother of the son, basically said initially the bride's parents were going to pay for the entire wedding. They were going to pay for everything. The bride's parents, when they approached the groom's parents, said, listen, you are able to bring 175 guests. The bride's parents said that, the groom's parents said, oh, that's not enough. What will we need to contribute in order to invite more people? So after some correspondence back and forth, they came up with a number, and the groom's parents took out a loan or whatever in order to be able to...
Hold your thought. Hold your thought, because we do have a caller.
Okay.
So hold your thought. Debbie, we have a caller on the line. Debbie, are you there?
I am.
Thank you so much for saving me from my wife and her. Who gets the cards? Oh, Debbie, you're like godsend. How are you doing tonight, Debbie?
I'm actually doing fantastic. But you guys are making me really giggle and laugh over
this
stuff.
Thank you.
Now,
what's your thoughts?
I don't care either, right? I just tuned in to someone say they were talking about, you know, who's going to pay and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, I'm going to give you a horse for your, you know, to marry your daughter. And I just get a kick out of this guy.
Well, I say bring back dowries. I mean, listen, if we're going to go through all this foolishness, just come with a bag of money, a car, whatever. Some
right,
sneakers.
Right.
Look, I'm going to take your daughter away here. This is for you and, you know, whatever.
Here's four chickens. There you go.
Thank you. There you go. Live chickens, too, so they can have eggs. You can do whatever you want to do. So, but, you know, this stuff is important to my wife because actually when she started talking about it last night, I was like, you really want to talk about this on the air? She's like, yes. And I'm like, ugh. It's like, you know, when she wants to watch The Notebook again, it's like, I saw it once, so I got to watch it again. You know, again.
You know what? I bet this topic is interesting to a lot of women.
Women.
I bet it is.
Exactly. All the men hung up, watch the game now. They're watching Scandal now. They just left. All the men are watching NFL right now. You're like, I was in there with you, KL, but, you know, you started talking about the wedding money.
But Debbie, let me ask you, because the mother of the room was upset because she felt because she had contributed money that her name should be put on the return envelope also. But she didn't actually have to contribute money. She chose to because she wanted
right.
to invite more people. So do you think that her name should have been on the return envelope?
No.
See?
No.
But
once
y'all
again,
saying, like,
it was her
care.
Choice, and she, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think the etiquette.
Oh, here we go with the etiquette again. Wait a minute, hold on. Who wrote this book? Where's etiquette? Who is etiquette? I want to meet Mr. Etiquette or Mrs. Etiquette.
Anything goes now. Anything goes now. It used to be, what was it? The bride's parents paid for everything, and right now, anything goes. I mean,
so let me ask you this. I'm the novice man who obviously knows nothing, but I'll admit that. So let me jump in here and say, how is there one governing force, etiquette or whatever, that so many people seem to refer to, but no one seems to know where it originated?
Emily Post wrote this a long time ago. Emily Post. That's right.
Yeah, you brought up Edgar Allan Poe reference earlier. She just brought up Emily Post. Go ahead, Debbie. I'm sorry.
She's the one who started this whole thing. But right now, like I said, anything goes. I mean, if two people are happy, it all just happens together.
I got you. I think what we have to be careful, I think my wife mentioned it earlier, I think what we have to be careful is that we tend to drag the traditions that we like forward, and we leave the ones that we kind of don't, but then each person kind of drags what they like, which automatically creates a semi-culture clash in some aspects, because
yes,
I know with so many weddings and so many things, I've heard, like, knockdown fights over things that didn't make sense to
right.
me as the male, but I've heard women like stand their ground, like, no, she needed to wear her great grandmother's bonnet because that's what she got married in, but no, the garter belt was like her aunt's, and I'm like, so she can't just have what she wants on her day? And I mean, families have stopped talking to each other.
I know.
Over things that to me as a man makes no sense, because what I try to figure out is, if it's the couple's day, shouldn't they have the final say-so regardless? But I always get told to shut up, I'm a male. So I just, that's why I had to ask.
I agree with you, because it's funny. That's what I told the woman that, you know, the mother of the groom, because she said she felt that she wouldn't get as much notoriety as the bride's parents. And I said, but you know what? It's not about either one of you. It's about the groom and the bride. So
right.
sit back, enjoy their day, and just be okay with it. Whether it's mine, you know, I just didn't understand the whole concept of I want to be recognized also as the groom's parents. Of course you're going to be recognized as the groom's parents, but unfortunately it's not about you. So
right.
I agree.
So, Debbie, how much did you get a chance to listen to since you called in? Because I know my wife and I can be quite foolish at times.
I was catching the two of you going back and forth, and then I caught when your wife dropped off.
Yeah, see, I was trying to get in there. I actually didn't cut her off.
I know you didn't drop her off. I know that.
But definitely. Well, we hope that you'll call in future shows. We're here every Thursday from 8 to 10. We try to come up with a different subject, and we were talking earlier about if your significant other's best friend was to make a pass at you, should you tell your significant other? That was the topic that we were talking about. Of course, we spoke about the situation with the motorcyclist and the gentleman in the SUV, and actually we're having that conversation in the Facebook group as the show is going on. But we hope that in the future you'll come back and join us on Thursday nights. I know Scandal's on, but this is what we do, opposite Scandal. So we definitely would hope that you'll tune back in and listen and support.
I definitely will. You guys are just the best, and I'm very, very happy for both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great night, Debbie. Thank you for calling in. That is Debbie, ladies and gentlemen, called in to say that she don't care either who gets whatever. Just do what you want. But thank you so much for calling in, Debbie. It is 9:57. Another Thursday night in the books. And you know what? I still love doing it.
I do,
so I'm going to say it has been a pleasant night. I want to thank my grandmother for kicking me in my butt while I was at work. She charged my spirit up. And you know, they say that we carry a part of our departed folks with us. And so I felt that today. So I just want to say, Grandma, thank you. And I am excited about the future with my wife and then baby to be. So I'm going to let it stop right there. Honey, what you want to tell them as we close?
Actually, I'm thinking about next week. We're going to have another Etiquette Says or Practicality Rules.
No.
We are. And you know
you
what we're going to
do? No.
You know we're going to discuss through Etiquette Says or Practicality Rules?
What is that?
Invitations.
No.
When you get invitations.
No. I will be watching the football game. You will do it by yourself.
When you receive an invitation, what does it mean to you?
No.
Because etiquette says, but practicality might rule.
What's etiquette? Emily Post, Edgar Allan Poe. Forget all that, man. Yo, Keith says, KL says, Mr. Belvin says, do what you feel. Do what you like. Do what works for you. You want to get married in your backyard, do it. You want to get married on a plane, boat, train, anything that you want, do it. You want to invite only the people that you like in your family, and the people that you don't like don't get an invite, do it. You only want to invite you and your dog and the neighbor that you like and the other people that you don't like don't come, do it. Just forget that. I say invite everybody but the family members you don't like.
You are the best. Anyway, that's reality and relationships with KL. We thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next Thursday, same time, same place. Good night. Thanks.
Good night.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No.
Built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
We've had some ups and downs, baby. A lot of bad mistakes. But we've always had some good times. And through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down.
I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter how slow, no, whatever comes our way.
Put you on a rocket flight, keep on loving till we touch the sky.